You are listening to a Radio Project X podcast. For more, go to radioprojectx.com.
I'm Constable Ian Constable. This is my brother, Special Constable Jim Constable.
We've heard the jokes.
Save them. This is a serious matter.
Not sure why Jim's a funny name.
We're looking for one Harry Lancaster.
If we get two Harry Lancasters, that's a bonus.
He's a small-time extortionist. Big-time trouble.
Convicted of the following offenses. Intent to commit extortion. Extortion. Failure to remain at the scene of an extortion.
B&E, A and B, P's and Q's.
Inability to choose or retain a decent alias.
If you've seen Larry Hancaster, VW Beetle, Flouncing Pete, Groucho Barks, or Joe It Ain't Me, turn him in.
Are you harboring him? Is someone you know harboring him?
Is he living near or at the harbor, and are you withholding that information? Don't do it. Turn him in.
Someone out there knows this man.
If you know him, I'm sure you know him.
If you do know, let us know. Give it some thought, then don't give it another thought and call us.
Do not engage this man in small talk. He's small talked his way out of better than you.
No offense, man.
Harry Lancaster. He's the man we're looking for.
If you see him and he's wearing athletic pants...
Another offense he's done time for.
Resist the urge to deride him and call the police.
Maybe he's cold and hungry. Use this against him. Invite him in, then clock him in the head with a frying pan.
Or another police-approved blunt object.
We'll hand out a complete list and print it in this evening newspaper.
By clock, we mean hit. You can even hit him with a clock.
Anything heavy. We're focused on one thing.
Larry Hancaster. Only you can bring him to justice.
No. Harry Lancaster.
Harry Lancaster, yes. Only you can bring him to justice.
No, Jim, only we can bring him to justice.
But the public can bring him to us, Ian.
Correct.
I sometimes am.
We urge you to help us. Constables, Constable, and Constable.
Please, we've got nothing.
Mr. Johnson, your credentials are very impressive.
Thanks.
Very impressive. Your references all check out, and in fact, Margaret Williams at Starker's had nothing but terrific things to say about you.
Good old Margaret.
There's just one thing that concerns me.
And that is?
Well, you're I'm sorry, what do you call that again?
Naturist.
Naturist, right. Well, now if it were up to me, no problem. As long as you do good work, who am I to complain if you're... I'm sorry, what do you call that thing again?
Penis?
Penis, right. Who am I to complain if your penis is hanging out? If it were up to me, heck, you could just put it right... I would let you just... But it is not up to me. It is not. And I'm afraid that your...
Nudity?
Penis, well, it is a bit... out there for our rather conservative corporate culture.
Surely I'd be behind my desk for most of the day.
Yeah, we have glass top desks here, Harry.
Henry.
Henry, sorry, I'm not Harry. You are not Harry. Henry.
But this is a work penis, not a sex penis. It's like a hanging out at the water cooler penis.
Yeah, your hanging out is part of the problem. You see, I can't have the other staff snickering. Not that they would be snickering. I'm sure it is very... It's just that, you see, I just can't expect everyone to get...
Nude?
...comfortable with your being nude. And what about the staff Christmas party with all of the children? The next person I hired was supposed to play Santa.
I see.
And we'd have to turn the heat up for you, and that takes away from our bottom line. And it's simply not fair to the other members of our staff. The members of our staff.
It's not my preference, but I could wear clothes while I'm at work.
But underneath, you'd still be a, what do you call that?
A naturist.
Yes.
But under our clothes, we are all naturists.
Mr. Johnson, that is one of the most ridiculous, and I'm sort of certain it most offensive things that anyone's ever said to me.
Well, please, I need a job.
Naked men are always looking for one job or another. In fact, you know, naked men can't seem to get enough jobs. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Look, You seem very comfortable with your...
penis.
...nudity, and that's great. It's great. I am envious. I really wish that I could...
be a naturist?
...give you a job. Give you the job. Put you to work. Employ you. But I can't. No, I just can't. Had you written, I look forward to meeting with you nude to discuss the opportunity, I would not have asked you to come.
All right. I understand. Thanks.
Yes. So long. I mean, good... oh, good day. Oh, wait. This just came across my desk this morning. We have an opening in the Regina office.
Hello. Are your imaginary friends freeloading off you? Taking up too much of your precious time and mental energy?
Yes.
My imaginary friend and roommate, Ernest Hemingway, kept telling me that his manuscript for The Sun Might Rise If You Can Imagine It Hard Enough would sell soon, and that he'd be able to pay me back for rent and food and ammunition. But all he really does now is sit around, drinking all my imaginary scotch and shooting at imaginary animals. Our imaginary shared space is a mess.
My imaginary friend, Wanda Jane Amanda Teacup Lipinski, just drives around all day in her imaginary car and expects me to just imagine gas for her whenever she wants to go somewhere. And she's always getting her hair done at the imaginary salon. You know, the expensive one on Imaginary Boulevard right next to the imaginary library. I mean, I'm not made of imaginary money. Even if I try really hard, I can't imagine that money just grows on trees.
Well, here's your answer.
I didn't ask a question. Did you?
No.
Nope.
Quiet, please. It's the Imaginary Employment Agency. Put your dreamt up deadbeats to work.
The Imaginary Employment Agency?
Correct. The Imaginary Employment Agency. Simply imagine your imaginary friend coming in for an imaginary interview.
Hey, I could do that.
Me too.
Myself as well.
We'll do a complete assessment and match your imaginary friend with a perfect imaginary job, such as unicorn hunter, or accountant for all of Jupiter, or highly respected paid writer. And, of course, each job pays a generous imaginary salary, so you can stop having to imagine money for booze, hairdos, or new clothes.
Wow!
My imaginary friend is pretty stubborn. What if he won't go to your agency?
If that's true, you've got psychological problems I'm not qualified to deal with. But unless he's imaginary Samson, put some willpower into it and get him down here. If he is imaginary Samson, give him an imaginary haircut. That'll show him who's boss.
Swell!
Wow, you folks have the in-unison thing down pat. Well, disentangle yourselves there and imagine yourself with some free time for a change. Or even with some time to make new imaginary friends. Use the Imaginary Employment Agency today.
Imaginary friends are not the same as real people you imagine are your friends. Protect yourself. Know the difference.
And now a lecture with noted physicist, tenured gadabout, alcoholic, and subsequent discoverer of very dark matter indeed, Professor Jonathan Strakow Holm.
Good. Also evening. Good evening. History can be roughly divided into six eras. Way back when, a really long time ago, a fairly long time ago, recently, right now, and the future. The future is the most nebulous of these concepts, as no one knows for how long the future will last. If everything disappears next Tuesday, as I suspect, then the future won't be very long at all. Most scientists and religionists believe in vaguely the same concept, i.e., everything started at some point way back when. Scientists right now like to believe in the Big Bang theory, of which they are 100% sure, just as they were sure recently about the solid state theory, and just a bit less recently in the theory of we're not sure how the universe started. Religionists believe that an invisible person named God, or Allah, or Jehovah, or any of many different names, although it is now commonly accepted that the entity they are referring to is called Steve, created the universe at some point way back when. The difficulty with both of these theories is that neither scientists nor religionists have an answer to two questions. One, what happened before the Big Bang? Two, where did God come from? The second question is easier to answer. God came from Toledo. Although whether in Spain or Ohio is a matter of conjecture. Scientists commonly refer to the time before the Big Bang as, we never thought of that. Theories have been presented that the Big Bang was actually the result of a big crunch. The universe is in a constant state of flux, so that it alternately expands and contracts, much like my Uncle Fred's stomach after Christmas dinner. Contrary to what many people think, and yet in no way agreeing with those who disagree with what many people think, it is extremely unlikely that the universe was created by the Big Bang approximately 14 billion years ago. If anyone took photos, they haven't come back from the developers yet. For another thing, most encyclopedias say that the Big Bang happened approximately 14 billion years ago, and encyclopedias are well-known proponents of communism. Of fascism? Zionism. Logical positivism? I can't remember. In addition, any scientist worth his height and salt knows that a good theory should be able to come up with a more accurate figure than approximately 14 billion years ago. 13 billion years ago is approximately 14 billion years ago. As well. So, the Big Bang could have conceivably, in the minds of our leading scientists, have occurred 13 billion years ago. Approximately 14 billion years is quite a long time, and so is approximately 13 billion years. And no theory out by approximately a billion years is particularly convincing. To understand the enormity of even a billion years, look at it this way. Think back 1 year in your life and multiply that by a billion. I must go. If, as I suspect, the future does end next Tuesday, I have a billion things to do before then. Good evening.
Tonight's project was written by Peter Church, Sean Wayne Doyle, and Neil Jones, and performed by Claire Armstrong, Peter Church, John Fleming, Murray Jones, Andrew Knowlton, and Scott Watkins, with original music by Paul Crocker. Radio Project X is a copyrighted production, and all rights are reserved by its creators, Peter Church, Sean Wayne Doyle, and Neil Jones. For more information, please contact our website at radioprojectx.com or contact us at info@radioprojectx.com.